grace? Is that excuse me, results in justification? His obedience brings righteousness to many. His grace reigns through to our heart. And the vicious circle becomes a victorious farm. Now, Paul's argument is reasonably clear when you unpack it. It is slightly problematic though. It's particularly problematic to our sort of contemporary individualistic way of looking at it, because what Paul seems to be saying is that we are all condemned by the sin of one man. And this is actually where the doctrine of original sin comes from, which was laid out fully by Augustine and has continued to be a sort of a key doctrine of the Reformation and Calvinism and Reformed tradition. Basically says, Adam sinned, and since then, sort of everybody has inherited the condemnation of Adam. This is problematic on one level. It doesn't sound very fair, does it? Now, and I'm not going to resolve the question of whether original sin is a biblical doctrine or not. Totally, you may well remember once in Whitby, I briefed a 5-minute slide to try and solve the problem of free will and predestination. I didn't realise what all this test I was stirring up to. If I now tackle another key Calvinist idea of original sin, I'll probably get myself into the same deep water. However, I'm going to say two things. John, I'll say them once and over again. Okay. I think Paul teaches two things here. He does teach that in some respects we all suffer through our inheritance from Adam. In some sort of foundational way, when Adam, the first man, sinned, humans and creation fell. Everything was put out of joint. That harmony with God that we see in the Garden of Eden was broken. Humanity was evicted from the garden, was banned from the eating from the tree of life, and somehow it's almost like we are born into a reality contaminated by sin. God is distant. Satan has a measure of power. We, as it were, inherit a sin gene. Paul is clearly teaching that we are not born into a sort of spiritually and morally neutral context. We are born into a world that is fallen, and we ourselves are born fallen. That's sort of what the doctrine of original sin teaches. But Paul also very clearly says, but we individually sin. Yeah? We have our own original sin. We sin in our own original ways. So you can, I believe, the original sin one way or the other. We all repeat Adam's own choice to sin. We are therefore guilty on our own account and not just because of Adam. So it is both true that we are dead in sin because of our inheritance of Adam. It is also true that we are dead in sin because of our own sin, which Paul teaches very clearly in Romans 5:3. So, as Paul puts it, death reigns through sin in Adam. But in contrast, we all live to our inheritance from Christ. The gift more than compensates. Now, here's why it doesn't quite work the same way, because, in a sense, yeah, we are judged by Adam's sin, but we're also judged because we sin ourselves. When we are saved, we're saved because of Christ's righteousness, not because of our righteousness. We're not saved because we have done the sort of, if you like, sort of fought back against the sin of Adam, and we have turned it around by our merits. We're
saying it's a gift,
it's grace. But we now are born again. We now inherit, if you like, the spiritual genes of Christ. Alright? Being born again isn't just a metaphor, it's actual. Something ontologically changes in humanity when you're born again. Your nature changes when you're born again, and you begin to receive your new inheritance from Jesus. And the power of sin and its resulting consequence of death is neutralized. And instead, the born again me in Christ starts to find me as I start to be able to live righteously. And the result, the destiny, is life. Grace reigns through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There are two humanities. Now, this is powerful. You don't just sort of make a sort of put your hand up in a meeting, receive Christ, and then think, oh, thank you, it's going to heaven now. With your life, Christ, I'm pretty much the same. You are changed. You are born again. You are now in Christ, not in Adam. And true faith will therefore bear fruit. Again, I think it was set up for Tom, I think, a few sermons and six or whatever. There is no such thing as Christianity. Okay, you're saying purely by faith, not by good works. But there is no such thing as faith that doesn't produce the word fruit, which is works of righteousness. Again. So there's a gift, says Paul, that more than common sense. So he's really still on the same theme. We've still got that how much more running through both. You know, both have the two halves of Romans and Jesus are very different, but actually also the same thing. He's saying, you know, you were in Adam, you were in deep trouble. God loved you so much. He took you out of that by a grace gift, by dying for you. Put you right with him. And I'll tell you what, that more than is enough to compensate for every negative. How much more? How much more? That's basically what Romans 5 is about. And Romans 6, 7, 8 explore the how much more. And they look at what it is actually like to live the Christian life in Christ. Okay, that's what we'll be doing. When Tom gets on the next couple of chapters. Fantastic. Lord, I sort of thank you for the richness and the gift of God. Lord, I want to thank you that, Lord, you are the giver who keeps on giving. Yes, Lord, we want to thank you that when we were powerless, when we were sinners, you died for us to reconcile us with you and to justify us so that we stand by grace before you. But Lord, I thank you that that just sets us up for all new life in Christ. There's so many more blessings, so many more dimensions to explore, but your great gift through Jesus. Lord, open our eyes, open our spiritual hearts, increase our faith, help us to revel